This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. We are going to review Squid Game for you today. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for what is apparently the most popular streaming series in Netflix's history.
Wayne. Yes, and I hear it's like it's not even close, apparently.
Even bigger than Bridgerton, a show we did not cover for obvious fucking reasons.
What is Bridgerton about?
I don't know.
Okay.
Period piece, romance, comedy, you know, chick stuff.
Oh, sure.
To be really, really unfair.
I've never heard a guy talk about it, so whatever.
Squid Game is a Korean show created, written, and directed every episode by Hwang Dong-hyuk. It's an action thriller, awesome. Survival drama. It stars Lee Jung-jae, Park Hae-soo, Wee Jae-yoon. Wee Ha-yoon.
See, Paul can handle the Korean names.
Oh Yoon. Oh Young-soo. And Hee Sung-lae. Tae.
It's those damn European names of Pukwichi, yeah.
It's got 9 episodes in its first season. So far, no second season has been announced. The running time is 32 to 63 minutes per episode, so quite varied. It was out September 17th. I'd seen the whole thing by, if memory serves me, September 28th. You're a little bit later off the mark, which is why we're doing this review now.
Mm.
But you were a bit dubious. I pressed you to watch it.
And you did.
Said, let's give this a review. And now I'm fascinated to see what you think.
Well, it's taking the world by storm. This film, everyone. Sorry, this TV show. it is set in South Korea. And it is about... It goes among various characters. Typically, these characters are relatively destitute or in severe financial hardship. Mm-hmm. And the one particular character and a few of them actually get invited to this game where there are 456 players, all drawn from different walks of life. And they play a series of children's games with deadly penalties if they lose. They're all competing for the chance to win 45.6 billion won, which, Paul, is roughly how much in the USD?
US, about 40 million.
40 mil?
51 million Australian.
Australian?
Dollars.
Dollars, good. Okay, so it's a chunk of change.
Yep.
And that is what this film is about, in a nutshell.
Show.
Show.
All right then, Wayne, without any further ado, we're going to give this very, very general impressions. 3-4 minutes only.
Cool.
We're not going to talk a single plot beat because this is heavily contingent on watching the show as you go. We could tell you the first episode, but even by the end of that, there's some shit that's
absolutely
happening that would be a massive spoiler.
Totally.
So we're going to keep it very concise. Hit the spoiler button. Jack will say his bit. And then after that, we're going to spoil the entire series because we have seen all 9 episodes. Wayne, what did you think of Squid Game?
Fantastic.
Yay!
Fantastic. And it's not like...
That is the correct answer.
Well, I've said this many times. Sometimes when you hear about things on Netflix and it's such a supposed, like, you know, sweep in the world and yada, 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 I tend to go, I don't know if I'm going to watch this thing. Everyone's talking about it. I don't know.
Being contrarian?
I'm not trying to be cool. And it's not contrarian. It's actually more that, like...
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
No, there's a weight to watching something which is already so popular. Like, you're not sure whether you've got the preconceptions right or if you heard too much about it. Or the expectations are high, Paul. So sometimes you don't want to watch it because you're like, I'm going to get disappointed. I'm going to get disappointed like a motherfucker. I'm like that, Paul. I'm like that. So, you know. I know. Okay, I feel that way. Is everyone else like that?
I want to make my own mind up.
Yeah, but you succumb heavily to the high expectations thing. So do I.
Oh, of course, expectations do.
Right.
Often I will be disappointed, but I still want the chance to make my own mind up.
I completely understand that too, and that's why I actually did get to it. Like, you told me about it and I heard nothing about it.
And you were like, what? All right, I'll give it a shot. And then I next checked in with you and you were like, I've seen like 2 episodes. There's no way I'm going to finish it though.
No.
So today when you told me.
Yeah.
I finished it. I knew you liked it because you wouldn't have burnt through it otherwise.
I actually watched 2 and then... 4 and then like the rest of them, like this bang, 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 bang.
When I checked in with you, you only seen the first 2 or maybe 3.
That's right, yeah. So it was like, yeah, you're right. And it's good. This show here, right? I don't know. Like, I don't know nothing about what it's like to live in Korea. You know, and so it's always interesting to see. Yeah, you see some Parasite and that type of stuff, a bit of that type of thing. But okay, so watching the people and how they live here and actually watching the houses and see the apartments and how they look and stuff. That's kind of cool. I think the idea, because I didn't know exactly what I actually didn't know much about the show at all. I knew that they maybe competed in some games, and I thought it was like a Running Man. That's what I thought.
Well, it's sort of Battle Royale, Running Man, Hunger Games.
So those games, it's set games, and it's monitored and all that sort of shit. So that is fine, but then when I didn't actually realize how it was governed, as in, we said here in the thing, it's, you know, with deadly penalties if you lose, right? I didn't know how those penalties were dealt out. I didn't know if there was some, what the mechanism for that would be. And to find out, like, oh, well, this is kind of cool. Like, you know, it was just obvious. This is a very real story. It's not like there's some magical thing that shuts you down.
No, no, look, it is grounded quite in reality. It's very, got that real social kind of commentary, which, yeah, sure, it's kind of par for the course these days. But I think it does it fine. It makes the point.
No, no, yeah, well, it's more that it's interesting to know that, I mean, I guess this type of thing happens in any developed country, but
all that the haves have and the have-nots don't. And,
yeah.
And it's the have-nots here, mostly, who are really struggling. There are one or two exceptions among the 456 players. But
they are quite rich, like these characters, because it's not as though they're all deadbeats, say. Some of them are people who lost their money on futures.
Well, one of the real skills or strengths of the show is that the characters are quite well-rounded. Not just our hero, supposed hero anyway, or the main character, Gi-hun.
Gi-hun, yep.
Yep. Who I actually found to be arguably the worst character in the whole show.
Worst meaning you didn't enjoy him as a character?
If I have a criticism about the show, it's that Korean cinema, as well as its TV shows, and I'm not proclaiming to be an expert in these things. Mm. The ones that I watch are very...
You've seen a lot of them, though.
Very genreized, they're always thrillers or horrors or action films or shows, right? But consistently, they're tonally all over the place. Like, Korea loves to do a bit of goofiness where there's no need to be goofy in there. And this guy's really goofy in the first episode in particular. He has moments throughout the rest of the series.
Yeah.
And I found him very unlikable in those moments. Like the way he kind of reacts to his circumstances and what propels him into the game. Yes, he's a deadbeat. Yes, he's got people chasing him, blah, blah, blah. All that kind of stuff.
Yes, he's got a kid, yeah.
But, you know, he's even goofy with his kid. His kid's more mature than he is.
Yes. Do you not think, though, that that's one of the, like, if that's not the gambit of the show, like you're starting with this guy, and yes, he's pushed into the situation because of desperation.
Yep.
And he is probably, by the numbers, a wildly unreliable, you know, guy. So going through Squid Game and actually seeing his transformation into having to take this seriously and have to take himself seriously and stuff, you see that's the arc of the character,
and
right?
And he does, but
you didn't quite buy it?
Particularly early on, I didn't buy that any real person would act like that.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to get past that the first episode.
Yep, I get it.
The more the other characters are introduced, it kind of balances things out for me. And I think they're all, not all, but the five or six other ones who are very well drawn are very well drawn. Again, in a two-dimensional way for
Absolutely.
This kind of TV show.
Absolutely.
So, and this is the real strength of the show. It's well-paced.
Mm-hmm.
It's well-plotted.
Agreed.
There's very little boring moments. You think there might be. There's six games spread over nine episodes. You think, that means there's going to be some down moments. And they are, but they're mostly in the first two episodes.
Yes,
and after that.
I would say so as well.
It just sort of never lets up.
Yeah, I wrote a note in maybe episode two saying, this is dragging a bit. But then something about... Actually, I thought, this is weird, but I saw the first two episodes. And because Netflix just plays the next one.
Yep.
I thought it was one episode. I was thinking, this episode's dragging a bit. Then I realized I was watching two episodes.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, so it's actually better than that.
So you were busy playing Sniper Elite at that point.
No, it wasn't. But you know what? Because it's fucking... subtitles, you can't fucking not watch it directly.
Well, that's true. You have a choice, though. You could have had the overdub.
Oh my god, English. I started with the English dub, right? Just to say, what if it's any good? Oh god, it's horrendous. I knew within 10 seconds it was shit, right?
100% agree with you.
And then, of course, anyone who's about to watch this, the word on the street is the two subtitles options is English CC, closed caption,
right,
or just English. Just English is your best bet because the English closed caption. It actually has stage directions and stuff on that, which is
I just watched the normal English one.
Yeah, the normal English one is the closest, although a lot of people online complain have said that,
But I think that's always the case. Just that because so many people have seen this thing, they're really pulling it to pieces. They're really just finding angles just to complain about little bullshit that cares?
It's so popular that it attracts this kind of attention. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it works.
Double-edged sword when it comes to success. But I think this is and also very visually arresting. The color palette like that.
Agree completely.
Even the design of the place where they go and that weird staircase leading to all the different game rooms.
Looks like Escher, like an Escher drawing.
I couldn't remember the name of the artist.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. And that's the idea that no one's really going anywhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, ooh, it's kind of cool.
There's these levels to this show.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not like incredibly intelligent you have to be. You get it, you understand what it's going for, but I still think it's more layered than a typical show of this type is.
Absolutely. And you were saying this before, I actually think that probably the main strength of the show is that all of those five or six characters that you focus on, you see them all ostensibly being, not all, but like, ostensibly being good people and so on, but having to do but having to explore like the darker parts of their personality.
How far
to win.
Would you go?
Exactly. You still got to win, right? And then it's like some guy who's like, oh, he's got some good traits. But then it's like, yeah, but clearly it's totally self-serving. Like at the end,
that's the fascinating thing about this show.
Yeah,
that it's how far would you go to survive? When does your lizard brain kick in to make you do the things that you, when you're in our polite society, you never would do?
Most definitely,
or even probably dream of doing.
Yeah,
but when push comes to shove, and literally at points in the show, it does.
Yeah,
would you not shove?
Of course you would, because you're just, as a human, you're trying to linger. Especially if you're trying to win money, that means you've got something to live for. So everyone's got to, you know, that's the shit. So yes, very, very cool, man. I think
it's great. This is appointment. Well, I say appointment television, but this is bingeable television. You could burn through this whole thing in one weekend, no problem.
No question. And I nearly did, mate. I a couple of late nights because of this, and that's how I know it's a good show.
Yeah, I went away on a recent holiday, and when I went away, I think it was on episode 5. I finished it before the end of my second day away.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So when I was alone at any point, I was like, even driving down when I wasn't driving, I'm like, bam, put that on.
That's it. There's actually an alarm bell that goes off in my head when I'm watching a good show. When it ends, I go, well, I got to watch the next one. You know, like it's that, and that's definitely this show.
It's very well shot. I think it's hard to tell, for me at least, how good acting is in it.
I can't tell. But
I think they were all good performances.
It worked.
I think.
It worked.
The English language speakers that come into it later, not so good.
Okay, let's talk about it for a second.
Well, we just be careful. Spoilers.
Okay, yes, yeah, there are English speaking parts, and they are horrendous.
Yeah.
Now, Paul, as a fan of Korean cinema
media, yeah.
Yeah. Have you noticed this? Because someone has actually said this to me, that all English speaking parts where you're trying to depict sort of foreigners as opposed to just Korean people speaking English always sound like that. And I'm like, why? And they said, not sure. Maybe it's that the director or whoever the script wrote it is not maybe making it. If you don't speak English, how are you supposed to know what hokey English sounds like?
How would I write Korean or how would I write Japanese?
Exactly, we wouldn't know. I would sound like shit, right? So that's what it is. Or this being done on purpose. You know, you'd think you'd hire a fucking guy though, right? You'd think you'd hire a script doctor and say, is this how people actually talk?
Yeah, exactly. Come in, can you just write the English language?
This is like a Fiverr job. Like you could crowdsource that job.
Get them fucking work experience kid to
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely. Just like, is he white?
Speak proper English?
Is he white? Good. Yeah, get in here.
Don't have to be white. You can just speak English.
You're right. No. You should be white if you're depicting white people, you know what I'm saying? Because then you're like...
Maybe you're right.
Because, I don't speak good English. So.
I want to say one other thing before we've gone way more than 3 or 4 minutes. But anyway, we have not given any spoilers.
No spoilers.
This has been compared by some to an earlier Netflix series, which I don't think you watched, called Alice in Borderland.
I've heard of it only.
Japanese show.
Okay.
In that there are characters fighting to the death in all these sort of games, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
This is, to my mind, exponentially better than Alice in Borderland. It has way more compelling characters.
Mm-hmm.
It has way better written games. And like those games in that show are very kind of fantasy enforced by mythical whatever powers. Also, to my mind, Alice in Borderland is bleedingly obvious what's going on in that. Whereas in this show,
you're guessing.
It's much more grounded.
Yeah.
And you're not sure which way it's going to turn and whatever else.
So let me ask you this. Do you think, and I know it's not a fair comparison, but on that ilk, Battle Royale better or worse than this?
I mean, it's hard to compare 9 hours worth of show, or 8 hours worth of show versus a 2 hour.
You're right. You can't possibly go as deep in a movie.
Obviously, they do hit on some similar social kind of disparity, inequality themes.
It's the whole thing. Hunger Games too, right? Like it's just all
Hunger
that.
Games, the biggest rip-off of Battle Royale.
These
Royal
types
ever.
Of shows are going to come along. Yeah. You know?
Well, just because one person's had a great idea doesn't mean that someone else can't have their own spin
absolutely.
On that.
Absolutely. In fact, that is art. It is your version of someone else's shit.
Yep.
So
I think it was someone from the Ramones who once said that there's basically 4 songs ever written.
Exactly.
And everything else is a spin on those songs.
Totally. Exactly. So yeah, great show.
All right, great show. I 100% agree. We're obviously giving this huge recommendation. So get along and see Squid Games if you've not yet done so. Let's get into spoilers on the other side of Jack.
You can't handle the truth.
Well, the truth is that other than some haters out there, just about everybody loves Squid Game, or at least thinks it's pretty good.
Damn right.
So, and I can't for the life of me think you could hate this show unless you're trying to be a contrarian.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is undoubtedly good, or it wouldn't have snagged me like this. And that's why...
Not just you, the most number of people in the history of Netflix.
That's...
Me too. You and I, look, I'm particularly hard to please compared to your good self.
Yeah. Korea's having its day, isn't it? Korea with, you know, with the Parasite and this and that. I think Korean cinema is becoming a thing.
I think it also benefits from the single vision of its creator, right? Yeah. What normally happens with TV shows is somebody brings it to fruition. They're the lead executive producer on the show. Yep. They will write and direct several episodes in a 9-episode series, but then someone else comes in.
Yeah.
Or a few other people come in and direct an episode here or there or whatever else. And a few other people, it's opt out. Look, all you need to do is hit these beats, write that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel so cohesive.
True, actually. Yeah, you're right. If there's a guy actually, the showrunner is the same guy all the way through, it makes a difference. I found this in episode one, right? So I'm watching, I think it's cool that when they all got people to the island or whatever, to the game, right? I'm not sure if it was the beginning of episode two or episode one where they actually
given
voted.
That you can't remember where it changed. It was the end of episode one.
It was episode
one. So they had their first game. It's red light, green light, or basically what do we call it back in the day? Kind of like, what's the time, Mr. Wolf?
Yeah, it's that one. Yeah, that's right.
The equivalent thereof.
That version, yeah. And then when exactly. So they run and the thing turns around and one of them's moving, they get shot. Right? Which is boom. Like, oh shit, it was kind of a surprise. Because I remember even up to that point, I said, I assume people die if they lose.
Well, 456
But
of them.
I didn't know, right? And so, oh shit, they're getting shot.
And
like, this
is, and it was really good because they created just a couple of characters one guy thought might be a character.
Yeah.
As I'll introduce all the other ones. He's the first to go.
Exactly. And then even the running of like when all these people are running, I'm like, stop running, you fools. But of course, it's easy to say that when you're not getting shot at. So that was kind of cool. But then after that, they all vote. And it's like, well, obviously, they're going to vote to say.
Although it comes down to the last vote, which was
the last guy. And it was obviously, and of course, we said spoilers, but it is the old man who
ends up being the
guy who's
the
running
main
the
main runner of this.
Right. Yeah. And he's the guy who does the last vote, right? Because they go in reverse order. That was obviously by design. And I've been reading this since it ended. I've been reading all this shit. He obviously is like, okay, well, I'm going to, like, to sort of clear his conscience, I'm going to vote to leave. We're all going to leave, right? First of all, that's a surprise because I'm like, they're not going to write in that he fucking votes no. But they did. And then they pulled a Lost on us where they actually all left the island.
Yeah.
But they did that in the first episode, bro.
Right? Last end of the first episode.
Lost
oh, maybe
in the
it's the very start
episode.
Of the second episode. He presses the button. I can't remember if there's a cliffhanger there.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyway, long story short, they go away. In the second episode, they're back in Seoul.
The world, yes.
Right? Well, at least the main character's all back in Seoul.
Yep.
And we're seeing their interactions mm-hmm. and the guy.
And
from,
how their world
was
is...
Was he from Pakistan? I forget.
He was, I believe so, yes.
Yep. And he now making his life and career.
And everyone's got a horrible situation.
His mate, who's very intelligent. Mm-hmm. Sang-woo was his name. And then the pickpocket, who's that North Korean defector.
Yep, that girl.
Se-byuk.
So
show.
Good that you're remembering these names. Go on.
I wrote them down. I'm not going to pretend otherwise.
No, but like you managed to do that. I'm like, you know, the girl and then the guy with the hair. Yeah.
Well, and then the old bloke. So it was fun, which is interesting now when you think about it, because we didn't see the old guy once they were released, which I never even really clocked to until now.
He has that interaction with Gi-hun outside the shop. And they actually
he does.
Yeah, so you do see him. You do see him.
So that was a good little throw too, because we see it from the perspective of the other main characters, including the gangster dude.
Yeah, who's all in trouble.
We don't see it from him. We only see when he runs into Gi-hun.
That's right. And that's why and this is the cool thing though, the fact that they've gone, you know what? That whole extra beat of they went back to the world, they realized how shit their life is, and they actively
All but 11.
Yeah,
said, come back.
Said, fuck this. You know what? Yes, I might die, but I fucking hate this.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather die quick,
but
basically.
Even that's interesting, and it adds layers, right?
Yeah.
There's one line throwaway where the lead villain, lead soldier, whatever he is, says, keep an eye on the other 11.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to them. Because what does that imply? Were they killed off? Were they murdered? Were they allowed to just go about their lives? Because they know about this, but because this thing is a closely guarded secret, right?
Well, that's why that's where the fantasy is.
The fantasy
is. This
does
thing,
come
this thing
right.
would go blow open. But like, given the ethos of the game, because they actually make a point of saying this has to be fair, it has to be arbitrary.
I love the fact that they said if the majority want to leave, you can leave.
Exactly.
And they stuck by it.
Yeah. And then so the fact that fairness is such a thing for them, they wouldn't have killed those other 11.
I hope not, but I do wonder.
Look, I mean, I'm sure that it's like keep an eye on them. One of them starts talking, then dust him, right? Or something like that. But like, who knows? Maybe that's in the contract. Who knows?
Maybe that's what it means.
You know? Yep. And so, yeah, that's cool. But that again, once you know that they're now back by choice, knowing their fate, it's easier to watch this movie.
Let's show.
And so, it's easier to watch the show. Because everyone chose to be here, do you know what I mean? No one was trapped. So, there you are. That's why I like that.
Yeah, you're right. That changes things a bit, but still, that's how desperate you are to get past your life. That's pretty full on. I have another question.
Go on.
Right. So, we get a second B plot, which is the undercover cop.
Yes, right. Let's talk about him.
And I did like the way that, because again, the down points in the game, then we're flipping to him. Yep. So it's at night, everyone's meant to be sleeping, he's working his way through the ranks in a very clever kind of way, because the soldiers all have different masks on, circle, mm-hmm. PlayStation symbols, I hope they got paid for this.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, is this a PlayStation controller? What's going on?
I know, that's what I thought it was about, because I was looking, that's what put me off. I'm like, what the fuck is this? The PlayStation the movie? So...
So he works his way up to being a leader when someone gets killed by mm-hmm. whatever else, blah, blah, blah. And then he gets wind of this sort of underground
like organ
harvesting yeah, which was operation. Intriguing and how that all plays out. I have to admit, when he died, I kept thinking he was going to come back.
All right.
Because so, he gets shot by his brother, who was a previous winner, who's now basically running the game.
Right. Now, so word on the street, and by the street I mean the internet, is that, okay, first of all, when he actually got onto the boat and he killed a guy in a pink the pink outfit
yep.
and then took his place, I didn't know what happened there. Look, I'm just going to say this, everyone. I'm Asian, but we all look the same. Like, when he threw the guy out, I thought he threw himself out. I was like, Who killed who? I'm like, who killed who? And these motherfuckers look exactly the same. And it's not, I'm not talking like they're the same weight, the same height, the same look, man.
Move on.
Shut up, motherfucker.
Well, it doesn't work. If he killed a short, stumpy
guy.
But
that's why I was confused.
Because then he rocks up, he's number 29. And if 28 and 27 looked over and he wasn't a short, stumpy guy anymore, they would instantly know it wasn't him.
I needed more differentiation than that little thing. Anyway, so. I'm sorry. Yo, I'm Asian. All right. So. yes, but to take your point, the idea here is that because he was shot in the same spot where he shot his brother, you know what I mean, when they were on that cliff, the cop was shot about here
right.
and then fell into the ocean, right? If the brother survived with a shot in the same spot, so
wait,
could
shot
the cop.
His brother?
Yeah, and then in the beginning, like they both at the end, when the cop and his brother takes
off
his
mask, shoot each other, right?
They shoot each other, right? They were both shot in the same spot and one of them survived, so it's likely that the other one did too. I'm saying he's gonna come back, man. He's gotta come back.
I can here. Totally see how he could, and I think they have left that open because it absolutely. Was too shocking.
No doubt, boo.
Here's my other intriguing thing.
Go on.
What drives the soldiers, the red hoodie dudes, to do what they're doing?
Right. Now, I've heard about this as
I
well.
I heard an interesting theory. Maybe it's the same one. Go on.
Is it because of at the beginning when he's recruited with the envelopes?
Red and blue envelopes.
Red and blue envelopes. Yep. If you pick a blue one, you're a contestant.
Yep.
You pick a red one,
yes.
you have to become a guard.
I love that.
But then here's the thing. Here's what doesn't work about that. Let's say Paulie.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like when they are competing for 46 billion yeah, won.
What's over there? Maybe they get the same prize, but it's but what spread between them all?
Like you eventually get to compete.
There's a lot of guards understand. There. What? Here's $500,000. $500,000. It might be enough to get to earn you to do something. They murder people. 450.
No problems. Exactly.
Mercilessly.
Which is why I think that the it can't be that. It can't be that you do that because you have to recruit people and actually train them to go killing people willy-nilly.
Yeah.
And this is not like, well, you're going
to
be a guard.
Like you said, it's a fantasy and we have to be careful not to pick it apart
exactly.
too much.
Exactly. So there you know.
We alluded to the English language speakers or the VIPs who come along. And what I really liked about it is that there's the implication. This thing, same thing happens in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just seeing the Korean one. So a Squid Game season 2 could go to another country. Doesn't have to fire a Gi-hun. As he goes for revenge.
Totally going to follow him.
But now, all right, having said all that, we've acknowledged how shit the acting was.
Mm.
Moving on. What did you think of last episode? Because there's some contention out there, particularly among some of our listeners. Shout out David Powell,
yep.
who finished this before I did, and mm-hmm. said, loved it to the last 30 minutes, thought the last 30 minutes was terrible.
Okay, so my first, I actually wrote notes on this, all right? Episode 9, Gi-hun wins, right?
Gi-hun, that's how you say
okay.
it.
He comes back to...
Maybe it's Ji-hun.
No, I'm sure it's Gi-hun. He comes back to Korea. He's won all the money. He's dejected, obviously, because of the ordeal he's gone through. And what? He waits a whole year before taking care of anyone?
Yeah.
He doesn't spend a penny of it, which means he didn't give it to his daughter. He didn't save the old woman like the guy said. Like he didn't say, you know, take care of my mom.
Yep.
Yeah, or the little sister. He sits there for a year, doesn't spend it on himself. So basically, and also he had all these debt people coming after him.
Yeah, that would have got to take his organs.
How did they just fuck off for a year? You can't
I agree.
Just do that
is the one misstep of this entire
That's
show.
That's an issue. So like that was a bit
other
weird.
Than again his goofy characterization earlier
yeah.
on. What number am I going to put in here? His mate's punching him in the arm.
That was just fucking weird.
Well, that's like goofiness of these Korean shows.
That looks like a skill gap to me. That looks like a writing skill gap to me. It doesn't look
but
like
that. Yeah, I agree. All it needed to say was 1 month later. That is traumatized. He's still acutely traumatized. Yes. He's not got around to it yet.
That's right.
The old dude did seem like he was on his deathbed anyway. So had it been a month later, he was
easily
about
made
to,
it a month later.
No worries. And no I think problem. Everyone would have bought that and been okay with it.
Absolutely.
But to say 1 year later.
I mean, the fact that he came home and his mother had died, right? That might send him into a spiral that lasts a year or whatever. But you still would have had your either kidneys taken by now. Do you know what I mean? Or yep. not.
Or so his eyes. Weren't they saying his eyes?
Yeah, his eyes. So it's like, you know, this shit was going to happen. He would have at least done that for fuck's sake. So that was a bit 100%
weird. 100% agree. I did like the reveal of the old guy being the head dude of the Korean syndicate. I thought that was good and well earned.
Did you notice in that scene... There's speculation out there that, you know, he walks in and says, can you pour me some water, please, right? And he pours him some water and he gives it to him, right? And then the guy actually dies on the stroke of midnight. We think that's poison that he'd set for himself to engineer dying at that moment where the bet ends.
Okay, I like that.
Kind of interesting.
Yep. But on that bet,
yeah,
couldn't Gi-hun just have walked downstairs and helped the guy?
I think it's inferred that...
But it's not said.
No, it's not. It's not. But yeah, good point. Good point. Well, actually, that's one thing as well that had... Because the Squid Game itself is all about rules and like...
And being very carefully abiding by those rules.
Exactly. Now, here's the issue that I had. On the, what was the hopscotch one where you smashed through the thing? Good. That was so nasty, that one, right?
That was to my mind, best game.
That was my
best game.
That was probably the most, like the most ball-clenching fucking game.
Because there were 16 of them, I think, left at that point.
Yeah, and that dude drops the fucking...
They had to pick the numbers, and the VIPs and their bad acting were commenting on how it was going to be. You're like, what's this?
And one guy calculates the odds, he goes, fuck it, I'm done. So he just runs.
And then some of them missed where he stepped because he ran so fast and he got through a few of them.
Yeah, they forgot which one, yeah. That was like...
And then one dude's praying and he realizes, I'm not moving forward and I'm going to throw someone in. And then the bad guy does his thing.
The bad guy does that shit. And
then the chick ends up taking him to a... That was all brilliant.
That was great, right? But that whole scene there, when finally the three of them win, right? The three that are left, right? And then there's that slow-mo shot where they all blow up, right?
Yes, behind them.
Now, here's my issue.
Bit unfair.
Totally unfair. The girl gets cut because of the pyrotechnics that these guys are using. And what? They don't want to patch her up? Oh, she's like, you patch her the fuck up.
I agree.
She won and you fucked up because of this shit. So what the fuck, right? So that was a bit weird. But okay. Like you said, rules, all that sort of shit. I mean, that was cool. With the old guy at the end, the reveal of the old guy at the end was huge. One thing that I was sitting there, I wrote this note. It's, what's with his fucking hair?
I read about this.
Please.
Red is a power color in Korean culture.
Now, the guards, I thought it was because the guards are in pink, which is not red, but...
Apparently. Yeah. Don't quote me.
Yeah. No, it makes
because
sense.
Because I'm reading off the internet here myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, they said that this is a sign of him now taking hold of his destiny. He's no longer this lost soul. His red hair color is meant to be... He's powerful, and now he makes his decision, which ultimately is not to go to his daughter, which... Okay. But is to bring down this game.
Yeah. I find that weird, by the way. Like, I'm just going to get ridiculous red hair. Right? I'm like, now it's hard for me to take it seriously.
If it's a cultural thing, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah, obviously I don't understand it. So, you know. But yeah, that was kind of cool. I mean, is the idea now that season two is he tries to bring down the place?
Well, the guy who created it has said, I will not do what I did here ever again. I will not write and direct every episode. It took too much out of me, too much out of my life. So next season will not be, if there is another season, and of course it's going to be greenlit.
Of course there'll be another season.
Given it's the biggest hit in Netflix history.
No question.
He's not going to write it all. He might come up with the central, and I assume he will come up with the central concept and premise.
That's fine.
And hand it over to others, but I don't think we can expect as good a show second season as a result of that lack of cohesion.
I don't know how the film or TV show business works in Korea and stuff like that, but this is, you know, if you're greenlit for Netflix, they'll throw a bunch of money at you, man. There's no way you're not going to do it. So forget about it. That's done.
Yeah. I really enjoy this. I thought the games were great. Their choices of them. It was tense. It was unnerving. It was unpredictable, which is not... Even though we do wind up with the main character being the sole survivor, and I'm not sure I buy his lack of willing to kill the other bloke who betrayed him and killed everyone and done whatever else. So yeah, the last episode does have some faults, which brings my score down a little bit, as does his characterization early. But otherwise, I love the absolute shit out of this show and have no hesitation recommending it to everybody. They are my final thoughts, Wayne. Yours?
I was just surprised at how much I liked it. How's that? So I'm going to give it an 82.
Ooh, low.
Really?
Super low.
Holy
shit. It's an 89.
Damn, girl.
This is right around about, and obviously we'll revisit it in a couple months' time when we do our best and worst of TV for 2021, but this is right up there. It could be the best show of the year.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone there. Absolutely.
There we are. That's our review of Squid Game.
Long review, was it? It seemed like a long review.
We'll be taking out our faffing around 6 minutes ago. Yes, still a long review. But we had 9 episodes to review.
Exactly.
And we've glossed
over. And you know what? We could probably talk for another 20 minutes on this.
Well, we could probably talk
about
each of the games and how they all played out and whatever else. But that's the richness of this show. And that's why it is, I think, connecting with so many people. I hope you haven't listened to all this if you've not seen it. But if you have, hopefully you will agree, at least with most of what we've said. And if you don't, well, I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it the way that we have.
Yeah.
All right. That's it from us today. Wayne, how do the good folk get in touch with us? Normally, I don't throw to you, do I?
That's okay, though. I think I'll do it this time.
Okay, go.
All right. If you want to get to find us, just Google The Countdown Podcast and you will find all of our socials, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
Check us out on Podbean, where we host the show. You can like and follow us there. And the ccradio.com.au for the other great shows that are part of the network. Believe and Comic Confidential.
Kaboom.
Yeah, and that's it from us today. That's the Facebook community has had lots of discussions, not so many all about this show, but hopefully that's coming. Join us there as well. And that's it from us. Thanks so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Because it's a kid in a game talking about killing.
What the hell are you doing? Whatever, man.
Catch you next time.
Yeah.